this is our year of the dominion of the saints. That's our theme for this year. And I've been preaching all these messages because I want us as a people to walk and live in victory. To walk and live in understanding of who we really are. Who we are. You know, if you don't know who you are, you become anything. I'll say that again. If you don't know who you are, you become anything. And we're not about to become anything. We're about to become who God says we are. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am what he said I am. Hallelujah. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. And today we're going to talk. I asked the Sunday school to remain up for what reason? Because I want them to hear this sermon. Amen. I want the teachers to hear this message. And I want them to get the spirit of the word. I don't want them to just hear the word, but I want them to get the spirit of the word. Amen? So we'll read together 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 14. And what are we going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We're going to be talking about one of the mysteries of the faith, which is called the Christian faith, right? That's what it's known as. But no, you are not just a Christian, you're a child of God. Amen. You are a child of God. And I want to encourage you, for those that are new, walk with a book. You know, this is going to be your church home. I want you to get a notebook and walk with a notebook. For those who are already here, get a notebook so you can take your notes. Or if you use your phones, put it on airplane mode so you don't get WhatsApp messages during church. Because most of us are from other countries, so we have family overseas and they text us all day long. Right? And you have old aunts and uncles that send you everything they see on social media, even fake news. Isn't that true? Like, my mom calls me, "Oh, you didn't see Stephen Furtick died?" I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, I see it on Facebook." Anybody ever got one of those? Maybe not that specific person, but you know. All kinds of ridiculous things, right? All right, let's stand for the reading of the word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And before I get into the word, I saw some new people. I just want to say welcome. God bless you. Praise God. Let's give our brother a hand. Our sister, God bless you. My dear over here, touch her. She's so into the word. Yeah, welcome. Amen. Is there anyone else here for the first time? Mom, good to see you again. Yes, you. All right. Can I ask you, how did you get to faith? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. All right. My brother. Someone invited you. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And I know Pastor Ab invited you. Amen. So God is good. Let's give the Lord a hand for the outreach team. And I want to encourage you guys, keep going every day. What you do is having a great impact. Amen? Let's keep going. Going for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. And the mystery we're going to talk about today is the mystery of the resurrection. The mystery of the resurrection. Because we'll see, the Bible will tell us exactly what our faith means without the resurrection. Now, if Christ is preached, okay, we know that happens, that he has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is what? No resurrection of the dead. Now, there are still people that say that today. Paul was writing in his time about people saying there is no resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. So that was one sect of people that we know. Plus, there were many other false teachers that would come to the churches and say there was no resurrection from the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then what? Then what? If perchance there is no resurrection from the dead, Christ is still in the tomb. Okay, let's continue. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is what? Empty. our preaching is what? Empty. We might as well pack up and go home. And your faith is what? Also empty. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, the resurrection from the dead is the high point of Christianity. The resurrection from the dead, every other religious leader, including Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, Confucius, the confused one, all of them are still in graves. Everyone died and everyone remained in the grave. What separates what we know as Christianity from every other religion, one of the main things that separate us and make us different, is that there is a claim that Jesus rose from the dead. There is a claim that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, you and I sitting in here that have a relationship with Jesus, we know he's alive. Amen. We know he is alive because we have encountered him. We have experienced him. But if the Jesus that went on the cross and after 3 days he did not raise again, there was no need for another religion. Now, we call it a religion because that's what we're categorized into. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you about a system of do and don'ts. We already had that. We had the law.
Yes.
We had the Old Testament. We had the five books of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We had the Levitical law. We had everything for us to worship God. But that was just a foreshadowing of the greater glory. It was waiting on the fullness of time for God to be revealed as God and as man in a body like you and I. But something had to happen in order for our faith to be real. And it required Christ to come back from the dead. Because here Paul tells us, he said, if Christ did not raise from the dead, what happened? Our preaching is empty. And so is our faith, meaning it is void of any power. It is not different than all the other religions. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, we could have all packed up and went home. But we know that Jesus rose from the dead. So we're going to walk slowly. We're going to go through scripture and we're going to get this into our spirits. We're going to get this into our spirits. And we're going to get an understanding who Jesus really is when it comes to the resurrection. He didn't just rise from the dead, but he was the resurrection. You with me?
Yes.
He did not only rise. He was the resurrection in action. All right. Now let's go Old Testament first. And let's look at how David wrote in Psalm 16, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest where? In hope. Now, David was a prophet. David was a priest. David was a king. David was a type of Christ. Amen? He was a type of Christ. He was not the Christ. He was just a type. All right, lower my mic down a little bit, just a tad, so I can shout a little. And it don't sound too bad. Amen? There we go. All right, he was a type of Christ. And as a prophet, you are able to foretell. You with me? Prophets tell what will happen. That is one of the wings of the prophetic. They're able to tell you what will be in time to come. And David now writes, he said, "For you will not leave my soul where? In Sheol, or the place of the dead." So we heard that when Jesus died, he went down and he preached to the spirits. Now, where did Jesus go? He went to Sheol. Sheol was the holding place for the dead, where the souls of men were held captive until the time of Christ was revealed. And he went there, he preached to them. And what? When he resurrected, also some of the saints resurrected with him. So he said, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol." Now watch here now. Now this is where he goes full prophetic. He said, "Nor will you allow your Holy One." Now he wasn't talking about himself, because one is capital. He was talking about the Messiah that is to come. Are you tracking? Are you walking? If we get this, we'll be so firm in our faith. We'll have a different dimension of understanding and revelation of who Jesus really is. "You will not leave your," which one? "Anointed, your Holy One to see corruption." So meaning, you will not leave him in the grave. You will not allow him to decay like how every other man decays. But you will raise him up. So that's Old Testament. We know Jesus is the Holy One. Matthew 3, 16 to 17 says, "And when he was baptized, Jesus came up suddenly from the water. And behold, the heavens were" what? "Open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So that was the one who David was writing about. Here we see Jesus being baptized, the heavens open, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and the voice of God was also present. We see the Trinity there at work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Every other person was anointed with oil. Are you with me? They were anointed with oil. Now the Spirit came upon people and empowered them in time past to do extraordinary things. Like the Spirit of God was upon Moses to lead the people. The Spirit of God was upon Elijah. The Spirit of God was on Elisha. But here we see the Holy One is anointed with the Holy Spirit. Okay, are we getting something? God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus was man, but he was God in the flesh. John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Which came down from where?
Heaven.
Heaven. Where did Jesus come from?
Heaven.
I'll say it again. Where did Jesus come from?
Heaven.
Okay. So if somebody said Jesus was just a man, say no. He came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. Got it?
Yeah.
Good. I am the bread which came down from. So he is the Holy One.
Yes.
Are you walking with me?
Yes.
I'm going to check you every couple of minutes because I want you to get this. So he was came down from heaven. He was the bread of life, the bread of God, walking among men, performing his ministry, doing what God sent him to do. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was empowered to do the work. Now, Jesus warned or nor foretold them of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew 8:31. So we know we're not just talking about a man. Are you with me? So now you can have supernatural expectation. If we're talking about man, there are limitations. Okay? God. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And last week we had Good Friday. Last week I also preached on the death of Christ. And many of you know about the death of Christ. So he must what? Suffer many things. Amen? And be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes. And be what? Killed. So was Jesus killed?
Yes.
Did he die?
Yes.
Okay. I'll clear it up. He did die.
Yes.
Okay? So he was talking to them and he said that he would die. But look at the next part. And after 3 days, what's going to happen? He will rise again. Good. Let's go over to Matthew 12:40. It says, for as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of who? The Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So even Jonah's encounter with the fish was prophetic and foreshadowing how Jesus would come and he would die and he would be buried. But then his resurrection, where Jonah was released by the fish, it's as if Jonah came back to life and went back into ministry and had massive effect. I want to tell you, when Jesus walked the earth, it was good. But I want to tell you that today, it is greater than those days. The ministry that followed the resurrection is way more powerful. Because he said, greater works you will do.
Yeah.
How? By the power of the resurrection. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the gift of God. So, but who knows, we quickly forget. Jesus journeyed with them. These are only 2 occasions that he told them. He told them another time. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And they said, oh my God, he is blaspheming. He is speaking that he's going to destroy the temple. Do you know it took 40 years to build this temple? Are you with me? But Jesus said, destroy this temple. You see, he was getting them into preparation mode that they will become the temples of the Holy Spirit. Before that time, man looked at the physical structure and said, this is where God dwells. And yes, it was, because the ark of God was there. So there was the presence of God behind the veil. But he was preparing them for a time where the veil would be torn and access would be granted, and they themselves will be anointed with the Holy Ghost and become the holy ones of God. Woo. Be ye holy because your Father is holy. But who knows, we quickly forget. John 2:22. Let's go there. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples what? Remembered. His disciples remembered. Before they remembered, they did some things. They went looking for him in the tomb. Mary was crying at the tomb. she said, what have you done with my Lord? Tell me where you put him. I'm looking for him. And the angel had to remind her and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive. In the process, Thomas doubted. Thomas said, if I don't see and if I don't touch, I will not believe. But I want to tell you quickly, we forget. You're going to hear this message today, but by the time you get home, you're going to forget most of it. So it's called people syndrome. A lot of times we say, how could the disciples? Oh, how could Peter? Oh, how could Thomas doubt? Oh, how come? No, they're people just like you and I. Because can I tell you what they were also thinking about? They were scared for their own lives. Why do you think Peter did not say, I know Jesus? He didn't want to go on the cross. He didn't want to be number two or number three joining Jesus. Fear gripped their hearts. They were worried about being arrested. They were worried about being in prison. They were worried about being beaten. They were worried about losing their family. Worried about their children. Peter was probably worried about his mother-in-law. Because she probably fried good fish and he's like, I can't miss out on this fried fish. No. The Bible says they what? His disciples remembered that he had said to them. And what else? They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. I want to tell you, whenever you remember the word of God, faith builds up in your heart. Whenever you remember the promises of God, faith rises. You might be discouraged, but when you remember the word of God, joy comes. Peace flows. That's why the Bible says, thy word have I hid. It's time to hide the word in your heart. It's time to meditate on the word. It's important that you keep the word of God ever before you. He said, write it on your doorpost. Wear it like a necklace around your neck. What is it? Eyelids or something like that? Write it on the frontlets. Put it on your forehead. So when you see each other, you see the Lord is good. And his mercies endures forever. And his truth endures to all generations. So no matter what you're going through now, God is faithful to deliver you. Somebody say, remember. 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 John 11:25. Jesus not only told them, but he showed them that he had power over death. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am. I am eternally alive. I am eternally alive. And if you believe in me, oh God, though he may die, he shall live. Amen. Now I want to break this down for you. He was saying, Martha, the one you're looking at is life. Because I am come that you might have life. You don't have to wait to die to get life. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have received eternal life, resurrection power. Are you walking with me? Don't get excited with my intensity of my voice. Get what I'm saying? The moment you receive Jesus, you receive victory over death. Death no longer has power over you. You pass from death to what? Life. Why? Because you encountered the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Don't wait for the third day. I am the resurrection. I am the one that brings dead things to life. I am the one that changes hopeless situations. I am the one that makes a way where there is no way. I am the one that takes Sarah's womb that was dead all and expired, and I brought it back to life, rejuvenated it, that when she got pregnant, there was no stillbirth, no C-section. She didn't have a miscarriage, because whatever I do it well. I am the resurrection. Put the resurrection in your situation. Put the resurrection in your situation. Put the resurrection in your situation. Put the resurrection in your marriage. Put the resurrection in your money. Put the resurrection in your career. Put the resurrection in your studies. Put the resurrection where things are failing, and watch them come to life. Oh, mighty Jesus, I love you, Lord. Oh, I am the resurrection. Let the naysayers argue all they want. Let the agnostic and let the atheist argue all they want. When you have encountered the resurrection, there is no doubting. Many of you, your souls were dead. And then you encountered the resurrection, and all of a sudden, poof, it came to life. You were hopeless, going out of your mind, but then you encountered the power of the resurrection, poof, and you came alive. Some of you were rich, you had a lot of money, but you couldn't find hope no matter how much the money smiled back at you. Everything you thought about was trouble and despair, but then you encountered the resurrection power. Then the money made sense, and then the wealth made sense. Oh my God, tell somebody, thank God for the resurrection. Thank you that the resurrection is alive. The resurrection did not make Jesus alive. It was just a manifestation of who he is. I'll say it again. The resurrection did not make Jesus alive. He wanted to solidify our faith and concrete this relationship that we had with God. So he had to defeat the thing that separated us from God. Number one, sin. Yeah, a few things. But he wanted to show us that the chief after sin, the next is the grave. So he displayed to us power over death, so that you and I will also have hope that we will conquer death, because we received his life. He is the resurrection. He's the one that brings death into life. And he is the one that gives eternal life. And eternal life does not begin when you die. It begins right now. So, he said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he proved his power over death. Jairus' daughter was dead in John 11, brought her back to life. I won't read these. Lazarus in Mark 5, 21 to 24. He went to Lazarus' tomb. I was reading this scripture yesterday. And he says, the one whom he loved, he heard he was sick, and he stayed 3 extra days. call the pastor and you're sick and he doesn't come, you leave the church. Jesus showed me a good example. He says, some you got to leave to die. Leave it, let it get bad. So when he does it, they will say, it could have only been him. He says, some you don't rush them. You leave them. Let it get to a point where only it is the resurrection power that can bring them back. In this kingdom, there are many dimensions. But we walk by revelation. If he didn't reveal that to you, don't do it. But you're responsible for the revelation that you walk in. He goes to the tomb of Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. And he said to his disciple, this is not unto death, but this is for the glory of God to be manifested. Now that is not doctrine that God brings pain and suffering on us. It was for, Jesus loved Lazarus, but it was for the unbelieving Jews to see that the one that they were despising, because Jesus really operated in tough times. He operated in tough times where everywhere he go, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. They tried to push him over a hill. You know how low that is to push somebody over a hill? That is such a brutal thing to do. But they wanted to push him over the hill. To just kill him. But it was for the people to see. So God says, Jesus said to them, this is unto the glory of God. So he goes to Lazarus' tomb and he says what? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus what? And what happened? Lazarus came forth. What did he show them there? That he was the resurrection. When the lady's son died, in Luke 7, 1 to 17, the widow at Nain, what he did? Brought her son back to life. I like what Jesus said when he was going to raise Lazarus. He said to the disciples, oh, Lazarus is just sleeping. Let's go wake him up. They're like, Master, he is dead. And by now, he must smell. Oh, he said, oh, you disciples, what I'm trying to say is that Lazarus is dead. But he went there and he displayed power over the dead. Now, I want us to take a challenge. Are you ready? You ready? Yeah. We're going to read this entire chapter together. 1 Corinthians 15. This is going to be the most Bible summer you ever read. But before we read that, let me just give you a few accounts that the Bible provides. The risen Christ was seen by Mary Magdalene at the tomb, John 20. He was seen by the other women, which is Mary, the mother of James, Joanne, and others, Matthew 28. He was seen by the two disciples on the road of Emmaus, Luke 24, 13 to 35. He was seen by Peter in Luke 24, 34. The disciples saw him in John 20, 19 to 24, where Thomas was not there. Seven disciples at the Sea of Galilee when they went back fishing. John 21, 1 to 14. 11 disciples on a mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And we're going to see this one in a little while. I'll skip over it. We'll skip over this one also. The apostles at the ascension when Jesus returned into heaven in Luke 24, 50 to 53. And then Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. Those are some proofs that Jesus rose. All right, let's read. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go from verse 1. You guys like this? All right, amen. Even if you didn't like it, we'll still read it. Moreover, brethren, who is he talking to? Brethren. We are brethren, amen? Yes. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you are. Stand. By which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We looked at a lot of scriptures, right? And he was what? Buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Meaning scriptures were fulfilled. And that he was seen by Cephas, which is Peter. Then by the 12. After that he was seen by how many? Over 500 brethren at once. All right, hold on. How many? Over. No, not five. Over 500. We say the 500, but over five. If it's 501, it's still over five. Over 500 people saw Jesus at once. And watch this. Of whom the greater part remains to present. Meaning, at the time of the writing of Paul, these men were still alive. And women, they were still alive. So he's saying, there is proof. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, that is his brother. Then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by who? Me. This is Paul talking here. And by one born out of due time. I want to say there are many of us in here that saw Jesus. At the right time. In our time, we encountered him. Hallelujah. If somebody comes and put a gun to your head and say, Jesus is not alive. What you going to say? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No, we need to know him. And we need to remain. It doesn't matter what comes our way. Amen? For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted. How many persecutors of the church are in here? At one time you hated church. Okay, I got one person. Praise God for honest. I got two over there. Some of us actually hated church. Some of us hated Jesus. We hated the concept of Christ. And that Jesus can save. But thank God for those who love church. But you guys are like Apostle Paul. Hated church. But, now look at this. But by the grace of God. Can I tell you? The grace of God saved the haters and those who didn't hate it that much. It's the same grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, not of yourself, lest anyone should boast. So there's not a better grace for those who tolerate Jesus. But you know, those that tolerate Jesus are going to hell if you never accepted him. Sometimes we talk about the persecutors. But there's some that preach religiously Jesus. And they're going to end up in hell because they have never surrendered their life to him. They have never had a relationship and an encounter. They have never encountered the resurrected one. So let's not be on that side. You can give your tithes and offerings and still not make it into the kingdom. But if you serve him from a point of relationship, that's what matters. Okay. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored. Somebody say labored. I labored more abundantly. Give me the Amplified. This is Annabelle's favorite version. When we're reading Bible at home, we get so tired of her. She comes on with the Amplified. We're finished reading the verse, and the Amplified just keep going and going and going and going and going. But by the grace, The unmerited favor and blessing of God. I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not found to be for nothing. Meaning his grace towards me was not fruitless and without effect. When God looked at my life. Paul is saying, when God looked at my life. There was fruit. There was fruit. I want to ask you a question. When God looks at your life, is there fruit?
Yes.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that. In fact, look here. In fact, I worked harder than all of them. I wonder if it's because he persecuted so hard he had to make up. Because part of his commission was he was going to be told how many things he must suffer for the name of Christ. So be careful how you persecute the church. The Lord might just save you and send you to suffer. So that many will hear the gospel. Amen? Amen. Though it was not really I. Now watch here now. Even though he said that, he's sending back the glory to God. Be careful of taking God's glory.
Amen.
Be very careful. You can be happy and even proud to a certain extent, but don't take God's glory. I don't mean proud with pride. I mean you can be rejoicing that you're working for God. But don't take the glory. Because the last man that took the glory, worms ate him. His belly bust out and worms ate him. Herod. All right. And that's New Testament. That's after Jesus died. But the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me. All right, let's go back to the King James and we'll read. Where are we? 11. Therefore, whether it was I or thee, so we preached. And so, who believed? You believe. Next. Now, if Christ is preached, that he has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So that is not something for that time alone. That's also for now. The Muslims believe Jesus could not resurrect because he never died. And that's one big debate that's happening all over YouTube and all over social media, where you see people going back and forth. But I am here to give you understanding today. Jesus did not only resurrect. He said, I am the resurrection. Are you with me? So there is no point in trying to argue. Now, there are times the Holy Spirit may give you wisdom to answer. That's different than arguing. Did he just caught what I said? The Spirit of God may give you wisdom to answer. Because he said, whenever you're under pressure, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So don't lean on your own knowledge. Like I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a Muslim guy, you know, and I told him, I said, knowledge only puffs us up. Knowledge puffs you up and you feel like you know everything. But the relationship with Jesus humbles you, break you, and make you realize it's only the mercies of God. It's not knowledge, all right? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is what? Not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God. Oh, wow. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, Paul said what? We are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So he's piggybacking on their argument. He's saying, if the dead doesn't rise, what we are preaching is a lie. All right, let's go. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. So you can't preach forgiveness without resurrection. A lot of people will get stuck that Jesus died for their sins, but they don't believe that he raised. Because he had to have had victory over death in order to what? His blood to apply. Amen? Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have actually perished. So don't expect, if you don't believe in the resurrection, or if they not believe, if there is no resurrection, your loved ones are totally gone. Are you with me? If in this life only we have hope in Christ. Now watch this. We have hope in this life in Christ. But he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men, we are of all men the most pitiable. Meaning, oh, have mercy on us, we're the most stupid. We are fools of another class. Which is called high class fools. All right, let's continue. Is this helping somebody? But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become what? The first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Now when Jesus rose from the dead, not just him rose, but others raised with him. There were witnesses in Jerusalem where they saw their dead loved ones came back to life. Pastor, should I find that scripture for me? All right. For since by man came death, by man also came what? The resurrection. Now go back. The resurrection of the dead. No, go back, go back. For sins by what? Common M-A-N. Now watch this. The human man. By the human man, which is Adam, what came? Death. He said also, by the God man. Remember, where did Christ come from? I told you we'll forget. Where did Jesus come from? Heaven. I am the bread of life which comes down from heaven. He is the Holy One which shall not see corruption. Oh, Pastor, you know it because you're preaching it. Okay, I'll take that. For since by man came death, by man also came. Okay, please go back. Also came the resurrection from the dead. But which man? The God man. The Son of God. That's how the resurrection came. Hey, all right, let's go now. As in Adam, all died. How many? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is what? Good. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now let's continue. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. And afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. So he's saying, Jesus raised as a first fruit. Or the first example for us. To see that there is victory over the grave. And he said, when Christ return now. This is where 1 Thessalonians come in. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So if I get, let me rephrase that. If I keep your funeral, don't worry. At a ripe old age. Don't worry. Because guess what? Resurrection day is coming. Yes. Now, you're not dead. You're present with the Lord. Right? You're not separated from God. You're not in Sheol anywhere. You're not in the place of the dead. So you're not going to purgatory. Anyone ever heard that word? Okay, good. Purgatory is a Catholic belief that you go there and you wait for judgment day. No, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be what? Present. Are you present in this room? God, you will be present with your Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, let's go to 24 and we're going to speed up now. We got a lot of reading to do, church. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, he puts all the end to all rule and all authorities and powers. All right, finger happy. Please don't go so fast. For he must reign till he has put what? All enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. So meaning, people are still dying. We're all dying, but there is a day where we will die no more. Yeah. All right? Yeah. And it's a process of time until that happens. That will be the last enemy that Jesus will deal with. He already dealt with the enemy of sin. He already dealt with the enemy called the devil. But he raised us the first fruit over death to show us what will become our eternal position, where we will die no more. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are under his feet, it is evident that he who puts all things under his feet is expected. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to what? Him who puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why, let's continue, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die how? Daily. If in the manner of men I fought with the beasts of Ephesus, okay, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? He's saying, even if I fight demons, and the dead doesn't rise, there is no benefit. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Meaning, let's just live how we want to live. Do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. Party how you want to party. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. And that's it. We perish. But let's continue. Do not be deceived. So now he was warning them now. He puts on the apostle hat. And he said, be careful of the company you keep. He said, be careful of the company you keep. If you're going to sit around and talk to deceivers, you yourself might become deceived. You see what he says? Do not be what? Deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. A lot of good people started in the church, but they get hooked up with a devil in the church. You know, the devil goes to church. I said the devil goes to church. Devil comes to church. Yeah. The devil, or I should say, he sends his agents to the church. The Bible said that wheat and the tears will grow together. So anybody that is contrary to what is being taught, oh devil. Anybody that tells you, don't really listen to pastor. There are an agent that was sent in as a plant. You know, the CIA put plants. They put a plant. They plant somebody there to get intelligence. So does the devil. Do not be deceived. Evil company what? Corrupts good habits. I'll preach on that another time. Awake to what? Righteousness. Awake to righteousness. And do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. So whose knowledge they have? Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to tire you guys out. I'm sorry. But some people have contrary knowledge. Don't let podcasters be a pastor. You're going to get hung spiritually. Find a local church. Be a part. This is for those watching online. All the onliners who don't go to church. You know, some people stop going to church. Oh, I go to church online. You ask, check their spiritual life. They're dead to righteousness. Because being a child of God requires fellowship. It requires the brethren. We can't do it alone. Are you with me? You cannot do it alone. Or else Jesus would save you and you're out of here. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You see, when you read Bible, you see some things you never thought was there. God don't tolerate foolishness. I said, God don't tolerate foolishness. I don't know why people think the church must also tolerate foolishness. You know what I'm saying? If God is stern and God is firm and God is strong, oh, hug me, kiss me, pet me, brush my teeth. No, your breath stinks. Whew. Let's go, next verse. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now let's go. Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it what? Dies. If you want to be anything in God, you got to be willing to die. You got to be willing to lose yourself. But we don't want to die. Paul said, I die daily. Daily I'm contrite. We got to be willing to die. Jesus paid the price for our sin, but we got to be now willing to die to self. All right, let's go. Are we getting something today?
Yes.
And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat, or some other grain. But look what God does. God gives it a body. So for example, you sow a mango seed. God then puts it in a mango tree. He doesn't put it in a grape tree. The body that he gives it, you can identify it. The seed died and it got a body. Alright? When you put a grape seed, it gets a grape vine. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. That's why when God is using people in the church, how he wants you to leave them alone.
Amen.
Because they died to that level to be used that way. Woo. Hallelujah. And to each seed its own body. Let's go. 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are many, celestial bodies and terrestrial body, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Meaning spirit beings got their own glory. Remember when Jesus was man, he was in one place. But when he got that terrestrial body, he can go through the door even though the door was locked. So there are glories to this body. Right? There are glories to being a human. You can touch, you can feel, right? And the other person can feel the touch, but sometimes a spirit can pass by you and you don't even know. So there are glories of body to body. Amen? That's just the simplest one. Okay. There is one glory for the sun, one for the moon, another glory for the stars, one differ from another star, another star in glory. All right. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is in what? In corruption, but it is raised how? Incorruptible. Meaning, when this body dies, it will decay. It will die, it's going to see the ground, and it's going to decay. But when the body is raised up, it is raised up pure, holy, set apart, and incorruptible. It cannot be destroyed again. You know, Jesus is risen in his body in heaven. He took his physical body to heaven. We'll see that another day. It is sown in dishonor, but it's raised up in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in what? Power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised up. Come on, guys. It is raised up a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a what? Spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living. Now watch here. Living being. Oh, what's this? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He became a life-giving spirit. So whoever he touches, they come alive. Whoever Adam touched, he could introduce them to sin. But whoever Jesus touched, he brings life. He touches you, he brings life. Touches you, he brings life. And it's not a physical man. It's the spirit man touching spirit. Where Jesus touched you, still look Josie, looks like Josie. But the life-giving spirit is working on the inside, transforming her. Saved her, redeemed her, and is prepared a glorified place for her. However, the spirit is not, let's go to the next verse. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, right? And afterwards, spiritual. So we got to live this life in this body. Yeah. And be content to live in this body. And rejoice in this body. Amen. And please God in this body. Amen. And serve each other in this body. Yes. And do God's will in this body. And go out and work and make a difference in this body. Because first comes the natural, and then comes the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. Second man is what? The Lord from heaven. Where did Jesus come from? Where did Jesus come from? He did not come. Mary was a channel to get him down here to do what God needed him to do, to take away the sin of the world. But he came down from heaven. I believe this sermon is going to change lives. This sermon is changing lives. I don't think I've ever read so much scripture to anyone. We're reading 48 verses, guys. Wow, you made it this far. As was the first man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as in the heavenly man, watch here, so also are those who are heavenly. Woo! And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Hallelujah! Go back to that verse. We'll read it again. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, meaning Adam, and we have suffered in the flesh, Some of us suffer sicknesses. Some of us suffer heartache. Some of us suffer shame. Some of us suffer oppression, depression. Some of us suffer different things. And you're saying, God, when will it end? The Bible says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Right now, right here, we're going to also bear the spiritual man. We're not waiting until we die, but right here, resurrection power is going to operate in your body. Resurrection power will heal you. Resurrection power will set you free. Resurrection power will liberate you from chains. In Jesus' name. We shall also, somebody say also. While I'm in the body, I'm going to bear his image. I'm going to look like Christ wherever I go. I'm going to testify of Jesus wherever I go. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak his language here on earth. Because I'm an image bearer. I said I'm an image bearer. You are an image bearer. You are an image bearer. Online, you're an image bearer. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because he rose from the dead, I have the privilege of wearing his image. Give God praise. Give God glory. Right here, right now, I just want to say this. If you have never received Jesus in your heart, take him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. I receive you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I want to bear your image. I want to bear your image. I want to bear your image. I want to bear your image, Lord. I want to bear your image. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ribe bebe koso koto dabo sada dabasi keda babasi ando roko shaka daba. Take the glory. Hallelujah. Let's go back to that verse. Next verse, 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a what? Mystery. Behold, I tell you a what? Mystery. We shall not all sleep, but watch here. We shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Tell somebody there is a change in coming. Hey, there is a change that is on its way. There is a day that is coming when incorruptible, corruptible rather, will put on incorruption. Hallelujah. We shall be changed in a moment. Oh God, there's no need for time. I said there's no need for time. There's no time for transforming. We're already being transformed. And we're conforming. Woo! We've transformed. We've already conformed to the image of his son. But this is the change in time. This is the great exchange that we've been singing about. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout for victory. My God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, not even a blinking, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will rise, how? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must, somebody say must, put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Meaning we're not dying anymore. We're not dying anymore. There is no more death. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the what? Law. But thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who what? Gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch here now. Next verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Now look at this. After seeing and hearing what Christ has done for us and what is our eternal position, here's how he concludes it. Remember he said, I worked the most? Right? I worked harder than everyone. You know why? He encountered Christ. He saw Jesus. He heard his voice. He encountered. I want to tell you, ask God for an encounter. In different, all of us are going to have different encounters. But ask God for encounters. Remember a few months ago, Casey shared her encounter with the Lord. We all have different encounters to solidify your faith. Because Jesus is not dead, he's alive. I said he's not dead, he is alive. So therefore, my brethren, be what? Steadfast. Give me the Amplify, Anna. Let me break this scripture up a little first and then we'll wrap it up here. Therefore, brethren, be, here we go. Now, no, that was money. We're not going that far. That's the next chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm. Be firm. In your faith, be firm. Jesus rose from the dead, be firm. There is a resurrection coming, be firm. Defend what it is you have experienced. Be firm. Don't be wishy-washy. Sunday school teachers, be firm. Be firm when you teach children. Teach with conviction. That's why I wanted you to get the spirit of this word. So when you're communicating to the children that Jesus is alive. Oh, yes, he is alive. And he's alive in me. And he can also be alive in you if you receive him. Be steadfast, immovable. Don't let nothing move you. Do not be like the wave of the sea, easily moved by every wind. Are you with me? Immovable. Somebody say always. Abounding. Abounding. Always overflowing. To abound. firm, immovable, always abounding in the what? Read that loud. Oh, wow. So Paul talks about all of this stuff, and then what he gets back to? Doing God's work. Why are we saved? Why are we filled with the Spirit? It's not to dress up nice and come to church. Thank God that we can look nice and we can have nice clothes and we can smell nice and we can have nice hairdo. Everything is nice. Praise God that we can have comfortable seat to sit on. But what if there's no chairs? Will we still come to church? What if the chairs are hard? Will we still come to church? The work of the Lord. Firm. Firm. And I've seen this church pick up a firmness in the last 3 weeks. You guys have been going out every day. And we see people sitting among us today because somebody went and did the work. When you invite your friend, you're doing the work of the Lord. When you clean the church, what you're abounding in? The work of the Lord. When you sing on the choir, you're in the work of the Lord. In their time, they didn't have live stream, so they didn't know nothing about that kind of work. But today we have live stream. Somebody's got to do the work. Amen. Abounding, meaning when it comes to working for God, based on the mystery of the resurrection. We're going to abound in the work. We're going to work so hard for God. And look at this. Always being superior. Outdo yourself from the last time. Excelling. Getting better and better. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Oh my God. Oh no, they asked me to move this chair. So I'm only going to move this chair and I'm done. Oh, they said for me to fix this one room. So I'm fixing this one room. Oh, they told me to clean bathroom number one. I'm only cleaning bathroom number two. Number one, sorry. If bathroom number two stinks, that's pastor's problem. Or the head of my department's problem. Are you with me? Is that abounding? Is that being superior? Is that excelling? Is that doing more than enough? You know how we should serve God? If they actually fix one row, oh, can I fix 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? And it should bring us great joy. Great joy. Last night we went home at 11. What time we went home? Not so late. What time? We got home at 10? 10:20, okay. We got home at 10:20. You know what time Kimmy Ann was up doing dance? 1 a.m. Working on dance move for the next dance. But we gotta excel. And we gotta do more than is enough. Because whose service are we in? The Lord. When I go to heaven, I want my crown to shine. When I show up in heaven, it must be prepared. Here comes Pastor Sam. Oh! And I'm going to smile and look at my Jesus. And he's going to say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Well done, thou good. Faithful is not easy, you know. There's some days you don't want to be faithful. There's some days you don't want to be faithful. But faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of... So allow the Holy Spirit to bear it. A lot of us say we don't have self-control. The Holy Spirit wants to produce it in you. Hello? So, all the men that say you can't be faithful to your wife, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to bear the fruit in you. And for you ladies that do that, God bless you guys. Come. Give me back my verse, please. Enough. Doing more than, somebody say, I'll do more than enough. Say, I will go the extra mile. I renew my mind. And look here now, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in who? Make sure whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it to be seen. Because can I tell you a secret? You're not going to be seen. God will close my eyes. I won't even see you. But pastor, don't see me. You know why? Because you want to be seen. Continually aware that your labor in the who? Lord is not futile. Meaning it is never wasted or to no purpose. Whatever we do for God has a great purpose. Whatever you do for God has great value. Whatever you do for God, it has great value. Everything you do for God is an open door for someone else to walk into His goodness. For someone to experience Him. So I see all these ladies, they're out on the street. And you know what we were saying? I even heard them on the pre-service yesterday. They said, you know what? We're so disappointed. Not one person came from the street. I heard the pre-service girls. That's what they said. With God, everything have time and seasons. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap your reward. If you what? Faint not. The problem is we faint in the process. So we never get to our fruit. So, we see the resurrection is true. I give you one more. You guys want one more?
Yes.
There are 5 extra biblical documents from the time of the resurrection that prove that there was a resurrection from the dead. And that is from 2,000 years ago. If you could have found one proof or one writing from that time, and this is around the first century AD, concerning any historical argument, if you can find one proof, it validates it. But for the case of the resurrection, there are 5 historical, extra biblical. Now, this is a book of history, not only in the church. This is studied in law school. Lawyers got to know this thing here. Because many concepts come out of this book that shape the Western culture we're living in. That's why everybody want to come to the West. They want to come to Europe. They want to come to America. But they, oh, how they love their country. They talk so good about their country. But tell them go back. They're not going back. So Americans, you should be very proud. And you church people, wear the American flag and be grateful and pray for your country, love your country, and thank God for your country. Don't let nobody tell you anything otherwise. Or else give back the people and their green card and their citizenship. And stop collecting welfare. Truth is never comfortable. It's true. I came here at 14, and I thank God I did.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't understand why we're coming, but I came with my parents. But I thank God I'm here. When I get to live among so many other nations, I feel like I'm living in Africa. I feel like I'm living in India. I feel like I'm living everywhere right here in New York. It's a blessing. Pray for this land. Pray for the peace of this land. Pray against the powers of darkness at work. Pray, pray, and love your country. Don't let nobody talk you out of loving your country. Are you with me? So, don't get tired with God's work. Love your church. When you wake up every morning, pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Put me on your prayer list. Many of you, I check your prayer list. It's all things you want God to do. It's nothing about your pastor. But yet you want your pastor to preach every week to you. Ever think about that? Imagine that. Mighty God, Lord help you guys. Oh my God. Were you blessed today?
Yeah.
Let's stand. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you guys to walk with such confidence. I want us to live with such boldness. I want us to share our faith with confidence. I want the young people to be so confident in their God. The old, the young, the in-between, everybody. To walk with confidence who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and tell somebody what he can do for them. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Put your hands together and give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. You know, I want to encourage you, read your Bible more. Read your Bible more, because every time you read it, you see something new. There's a new revelation. There's new understanding. There's more dimensions. I saw stuff in this scripture I'd never seen myself today. Amen. About bearing his image. That was so powerful.
Yes.
I found that in the moment, but the Holy Ghost was helping us.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So when I stand here to preach, I stand here to be fed also.
Yes.
I don't stand here to just preach to you guys on this thing. You know, I was telling Emma, I said, there's a preachy way to song where people can come and fake. That's why preachers can fake.
Yes.
They can fake.
Yes.
Consider it. That's why we got to stay on our knees. We got to stay humble, walk humbly before God, seek God first, work hard for God, let your life matter in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Whew. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Just tell God something today. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Thank you that you're alive. In our hearts, you're alive in our life. You're alive in this church. You're alive in this people. You're working in these people. Resurrection power is at work among us. And we're grateful and we're thankful. Thank you that our hope remains beyond this life. One day, the corruption will put on incorruptible. Thank you, Lord. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, we shall be changed. Because God, you defeated the grave and you rose triumphantly. And the same resurrection power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Empowers us, refreshes us, encourages us, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Rabakasila brokosko tiarabashaya. Ribakosila rababasiando rokoski la brakashkitila dobos andarabasaka. Have your way in Jesus' name.